The Burt Show.
We are back here, so let's find out how the weekend was. Mo, how was your weekend?
It was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Holiday party was a great time on Friday. After that, I really just did a lot of chores, a lot of running around and trying to get my life in my head right. That's about it, but it was good.
I feel like this time of season, outside of getting your head right, is going from one thing on your to-do list as quickly as you can get to the second thing on your to-do list, running all over in town to get it all done before Christmas or before you head out of town.
And then you keep adding to it just at the point you think you finished. That's not the to-do list. Keep going.
There is no finish line right now.
Not at all.
How you doing, Abby?
Good. I had a pretty jam-packed weekend of just nonstop Christmas frivolity. So on Friday, we had the Burt Show Christmas party. So that was a lot of fun. We went out afterwards. And then on Saturday,
The youth group went out afterwards.
The youth group went out because we're still young, fun, and kicking.
Yep.
And I don't know why, but like ever since I moved to Atlanta, like all of my friends are Sagittariuses. So I had like a lot of birthday stuff, including a birthday party up in the mountains this weekend. So I went up to Tiger, Georgia. We went to a winery. We hung out. And then the next morning I drove up, had some work to get done, made some Christmas cookies with Kristen and Bert's girlfriend. And then went home. That's about it.
All right. All the Christmas things.
All the Christmas things.
All right. Later on, we'll talk about the amazing debate going on at the end of our party as to where you guys were going to go out after the party.
Yes.
It was a very difficult decision for the youth group.
Yes. We could not make the wrong decision because our lives depended on it. Truly.
Kristen, how was your weekend?
It's going to be the same as these guys.
Yeah.
Jam-packed with holiday stuff. We had a great time at the Burt Show Christmas party. Dude, Santa showed up, and that was so cool.
Weird.
You're welcome. That's what happens when you're dating the big guy up in the North Pole, sugar daddy Santa.
Is that what it was? This guy came around for you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't catch any kind of sexual chemistry, nothing.
We didn't want to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, okay. They were very incognito about the whole thing.
Well, you said you were dating younger.
Now I'm dating older.
Yeah,
okay. I'm just swinging the pendulum the other way.
And then Saturday, I got to meet a friend's new baby, and mm-hmm. that was so precious. I ran into you over there, which was awesome. I just kept seeing you all weekend long. I couldn't get away from you. And then Sunday, it was some Christmas photos with Jimmy, and then cookie baking all day. And then before I knew it, I looked around, and every kid in the neighborhood was in my house.
Is that right? So you kind of like it now, though.
I do.
Yeah.
I was sitting there, and the dogs were barking, and I look at the window, and I just see these little faces at my front door, and I just open it, and I'm like, come on in. Everybody's in the playroom. So we had a good time. It was so funny, because all the kids were at my house. Bart finally got home from working at the condo, and I looked at him, and I'd been cooking and baking and whatever, and I looked at him and I go, I'm going to go next door. He's like, why are you going next door? And I'm like, because there's no kids. So I left him with all of the heathens.
Okay. You missed the second case of Burt buffoonery over the weekend, and I'm sure I will give you the opportunity to say the first one because I know you've been waiting all weekend.
I have not laughed that hard. I had tears streaming down my face. I was laughing at what you said to a poor child.
All right, we'll get to that one in a second because that's holiday party related. But what you missed on Saturday is when you left from visiting with the baby.
Yes.
Amanda and I were still there and had a very nice time. We weren't there much longer than you. But on the way out, I went to go give Molly a hug, and there was a beverage between Molly and me. And Molly happened to be holding her baby, and I spilt the entire drink right on the baby.
No, you didn't.
I sure did.
You did.
Wow. Welcome to the world.
The baby was quiet the entire time we were there, and as soon as that cold beverage hit that chest, wow! Like, gotta go, Molly.
Oh, my God.
So, that was number two.
Yeah.
The holiday party itself, I don't know what I worry about on these things. Man, these are childhood wounds that I am still trying to heal. I have told you guys before, my house was very not like Kristen's house now, where you got a whole bunch of the kids that come in, the neighbors come on in. My parents didn't want any kids in the house whatsoever. We didn't have parties or guests. So it gives me some anxiety when I have anybody in my house at all. So having my friends and my coworkers in my house was freaking me out for a holiday party. My girlfriend loves a good holiday party, and she loves togetherness. So we threw it on Friday. And when I say we, it was her. And it turned out great. It was fantastic. Oh my gosh, she decorated the house. She busted her ass, man.
Dude, the downstairs for the kids.
Oh my God.
Talk about a cast.
Hazel could not stop talking about how they had these little hors d'oeuvre skewers, which had a grape, a raspberry, and a baby mini marshmallow on them. She's like, I had two of them, and I had two cookies. They had the best time. When we left, she would not stop crying until we got home because she wanted to go back to Mr. Burt's house because she had such a good time.
Whose house?
Mr. Burt. Mr. Burp.
She called me Mr. Burp.
They were cackling on the way over because they thought we said burp, and back and forth, the two of them, Mr. Burp. I'm like, you cannot say that. We are respecting the person's house. But then when I was trying to get him to smile for Santa photos, I was like, we're at Mr. Burp's house. Please smile.
The extra bonus on a party like this is having childcare in the basement and having a bartender up top.
Oh, my God.
It was perfect.
Childcare and adult care.
It was so good. Chad let me sleep in the next day, and I didn't wake up until 1:30 p.m.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. And I thought it was 10 a.m., but that's when I rolled out of bed because it was such a good time.
Good for you. Yeah, it was really, really fun, and it went great. I do want to promote two places that, and they didn't give me any kind of break on food or anything like
that. The food was delicious.
But everybody was talking about it, and it's so good. And I also put some pictures up on Instagram, and people are like, what is that? It was Baked Right Bakery made those little itty bitty cheesecakes.
Thank you. Oh, I am writing that down.
What the hell?
Those were so good.
It's literally the best cheesecake I've ever put in my mouth. I'm writing it down.
And it's W-R-I-H-T, so I'm assuming that's their last name. Baked Right Bakery. How do you explain them? They're these little itty bitty round cheesecakes.
Yeah, they're like the perfect little bite. It's not too big. They were mini cheesecakes, and they were so good.
They're in like these little aluminum foil cups things, and so they, oh my God, it was just like so creamy. It was the perfect texture. It wasn't too tangy. And then it had like a dollop of whipped cream on top. So if you kind of mixed it together, it became like a cheesecake mousse. Oh my God, dude, I want more.
So good, right? And Sox Love Barbecue, BBQ.
Oh, that was so good.
That was very good.
BBQ. Oh my God, it was so good.
It
really
was delicious.
Good. Yeah, there was one misstep that Kristen caught. And I will tell you my mindset, although I'm not sure in the moment that was it.
Are we doing it now?
Yeah, might as well. Let's get it out of the way. Start it. Just get it out the way so it's not lingering there.
All right, so this was towards the end of the party.
Kaylee went in on this.
This is towards the end of the party. And people are starting to filter out. The youth group had rolled out and to go do their late night shenanigans. Those of us with kids are just trying to round them up. Of course, they're like all on a sugar high. So it was taking us actually a little longer to get out of the house. And we're sitting there.
I might have had three drinks in me. I might have gone a little over the top on this. I'm usually cutting off at two now, but I was probably at three.
So Bert and I are sitting on like this ottoman together talking to Kaylee's kids. And he's got Kiki, he's got Max, and he's got Kai. And we were talking to Max, who I think, how old is Max, Kaylee?
She's eight.
Eight, perfect.
Very mature 8-year-old, can take just about anything.
Uh-huh. So she's eight, and she has her mama's heart for animals, all right? She was so excited to meet Franny the Bulldog, and she was loving on Franny the Bulldog, and she was telling us about her pets and the new rabbit they have in the house, because she loves animals, and she wants more of them.
She wants a bulldog, specifically, is what she was saying after loving on Franny, which was weird, because Franny doesn't let a lot of people love on her.
And that's what she was talking about.
She was just drugged up enough on Friday night, though, to let people hug her, right? Not Max. not the kids.
So your girlfriend Amanda's dog, Copper, was there, which is an older dog. So we were talking about, you know, hey, he's older, you gotta be careful. And Max was like, I want a bulldog. I want a bulldog. I want a bulldog. And deadpan, straight face, looking at Kaylee's 8-year-old child, Bert goes, you don't want a bulldog. They die early.
Oh my God. First of all, I didn't say it like that. I didn't say it like that.
You didn't say it in that tone, but that's what you said. Is that not what you said, the word die?
Yeah, she was talking about how old her dog is compared to Copper. And then she was saying that she wanted a bulldog. So somewhere in my twisted head, I had to warn her that you really don't want a bulldog because they pass away. So
you did not
soon.
Say pass away.
Die.
Thank you.
This before or after you spilled an entire drink on a baby?
That was before.
Okay.
Yeah, that was before.
That was the whole next day.
That was Friday. Yeah. Saturday was the end game. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, I did that.
And I mean, when I say I about fell off the ottoman laughing sorry, and the way that 8-year-old just looked at him, like, she even looked at you like, what is wrong with you?
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
You don't want a bulldog, it's gonna die.
Maybe I still have PTSD from Riggins, baby. It's still buried in there a little bit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was other ways to warn her. So many other ways. Yeah.
I'm glad I bounced before that happened. I couldn't handle the cringe.
Yeah, I got no defense, really.
Oh, zero. So bad.
All right, I want to give a trigger warning here because I am talking about Taylor Swift. I know how that gets everyone riled up. So Taylor Swift turned 35 on Friday, December 13th. And, you know, when you are in a new relationship, you really want to impress them with their birthday, with the birthday gifts that you're going to get them. There's a lot of pressure the first couple of years. This is their second birthday they're spending together, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. What do you get a billionaire? And allegedly, he spent $175,000 on birthday presents, the price of a small condo just for one birthday. So I figured we could play the Price is Right Taylor Swift Billionaire Edition. So there are five items here that he allegedly gave her for her birthday. So this is all going to add up to $175,000. So keep that in mind when you are giving your guesses.
I am bowing out because I saw this list this morning. So
you guys are on it. Okay. All right. So just Mo, Cassie, if you want to, and then Kristen. So the first item that that Travis Kelce allegedly gave Taylor Swift for her birthday were 35 luxury flower arrangements from The Million Roses. 35 because she turned 35. So one bouquet for every year of life.
So not 35 roses, but 35 bouquets of roses.
35 luxury flower arrangements from The Million Roses.
I'm going to say 10,000.
Okay.
That's a good guess, 10K. Roses are expensive, too.
You don't care about expensive. I just looked it up. He's making $17 million this year.
Yeah, I'd be so annoyed if I got this gift. I'm going to say $12,000.
Okay.
I will say $15,000.
Okay, it goes to Mo.
Wow.
But you're not even close. This is $19,325 for 35 luxury flower arrangements. So nearly $20,000 just for flowers that are going to die.
They're just going to die, right, Bert?
Yeah. Here's the problem, too, man, is you go this over the top in the first couple of years, you're going to have to do this your whole relationship where she's going to be like, do you remember when? You better be prepared to do this every single year.
Yeah, she's a billionaire. I'm sure she'll find the cash somewhere. Okay, the second gift, it was a rose gold day date 36 Rolex.
Rolex. I'm going to say 90K.
Okay.
I know nothing about Rolexes except that they could feed an entire homeless population. So 120K.
Okay.
75K.
Yeah, you're all wrong. You guys way overcompensated for this. It was $60,000.
Poor!
It's a low-end Rolex.
What, are they broke?
Yeah.
Couldn't even get a good Rolex.
The third gift, it's a Tiffany & Company gold split cuff bracelet featuring a heart engraving on the inside. So you got to account for the engraving. It might cost an extra $100.
Really quick, did she share all this online?
I was just having that thought because it's starting to feel like companies paid for a little bit of T-Swift advertising.
Now, can you imagine if she shared this information? This is all alleged. This is this is a list that came out on the internet. I'm sure none of this is true, but we need games, Kristen. There's no news.
You know what else they he got her? A subscription to the Burt Show Bonus BS Podcast.
All right,
you can find it at theburtshow.com. Perfect holiday gift.
And also did a donation to Burt's Big Adventure in her name, which was awesome.
Same source, yeah.
All right, Tiffany & Company gold split cuff bracelet featuring a heart engraving on the inside.
I'm going to go 90K.
Okay.
I'm going to go 6K.
I will go right in the middle, like 50.
Okay, this one goes to Cassie. $22,000 for a gold split cuff bracelet. All right, last two. An Elsa Peretti open heart bracelet.
Those are really pretty.
Is that like a real heart? Like he took it out of another human being and gave it to her?
Yeah.
Because he can do that.
It's the prize you get for being the biggest Swiftie.
Yeah, there's like goat's blood in it too.
Elsa Peretti. So she's a designer as well for Tiffany with all those heart necklaces.
Don't they make tires?
Elsa Peretti?
What?
Oh,
is Peretti anybody tires? Else?
Pirelli.
Pirelli.
You're an idiot. Like heart jewelry? Not my bag, man.
Yeah, mine
neither.
Yeah,
it's not mine either.
Yeah.
No, I do own some. 12K.
Okay.
I'm going to say 10K.
Okay.
20.
All right, this one goes to Mo. $25,000. All right, last one. For a necklace, pendant, and matching earrings from Van Cleef & Arpels Alhambra Collection. Van Cleef, very fancy, very bougie.
Very bougie, not very demure. I'm going to say $50,000.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good guess. Van Cleef's really expensive. Mm-hmm. I'm going $35,000.
Okay.
If the math is math, and it's about $45,000 left, so 45.
Whoa, Mo, you got this one right on the money.
Wow. The math was there.
$47,850. Congratulations to my favorite capitalist, Taylor Swift. Love this for you. Jamie Foxx is recovering after he was attacked at his own birthday party. I'm going to explain what happened on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It's another tradition that we do here on The Burt Show, and that is the Neiman Marcus Fantasy Gift Guide Price is Right.
Between the last segment and this segment, you really realize that we live in a completely different world than the one percenters.
Oh, that we do. So I'm going to give you some of the items. Like, you can go to Neiman Marcus, and you can purchase these items. They're going to be increasing because I know, like, some of us, it's hard to know how that 1% lives. Mm. So I think you're going to have a little hard time figuring out some of these prices. So just know that they're going to get, like, steadily larger and larger as we go. So the first item up for bid, the Manolo Blahnik VIP London Shopping Experience Fantasy Gift. Globally acclaimed footwear designer Manolo Blahnik is pulling back the curtain on over 50 years of luxury shoemaking in the heart of London. For three nights, you and a special guest will call the Connaught Hotel home. You will enjoy Manolo's London, visiting some of his favorite locations around town. During your stay, venture to the original Manolo Blahnik boutique in Chelsea for a VIP shopping experience. Well, you'll each receive two pairs of shoes with the option to have them monogrammed. Then sip tea with Christina Blahnik, the brand CEO and niece of the living legend.
Mm. And we're starting low.
We're starting low.
Okay.
Wow. And this is just like the hotel stay and the shopping experience. This isn't like flights.
I didn't say anything about flights.
Okay. How long is it?
Three nights.
I'm going to go $10,000.
Okay.
$50.
Okay.
$1.
Give it to Bob!
Oh,
what?
You're starting here at over 50?
$55,000. That's insane.
That's a name thing, right?
Oh, absolutely it is. All right. The next item for you to bid on, the Ginori 1735 Fine Porcelain Experience Fantasy Gift. Immerse yourself in the art of creating fine porcelain during your experience in Florence, Italy with Ginori 1735. It's a three-day experience for you and three of your friends at a five-star hotel where you'll discover the rich history of Ginori 1735. After discussing your creative ideas, the team design will bring your vision to life with a custom table setting for 12, destined to spark conversation each time you host. So this is like tableware. Porcelain. Like, you are going to create your own custom table setting at this porcelain place Florence, Italy. 3 days, you and three friends.
You started at 50,000 on the last one. So let's bump this up to 75 grand.
Okay.
She pointed at you, Abby.
I'm looking at you, though.
ladies first, though.
I'm going to go 101,000.
75, 101.
I don't think it's that much. 76,000.
Give it a bow.
We know who the true 1%er is here.
$90,000.
Dear God.
$90,000. All right, again, we're going up, up, up.
Oh, at least they're experiences.
They are experiences. Okay. Yes. All right, next. The Marilyn Fattoussi VIP Style Experience Fantasy Gift. You and your closest confidant arrive for a three-night stay at a luxury Parisian hotel and a glamorous style experience with Marilyn Fattoussi, the glorious, iconic, award-winning costume designer of Emily in Paris.
Oh, oui.
You'll dine with Fattoussi and actor Jean-Christophe Bouvet, who plays exuberant designer Pierre Cadult at one of Fattoussi's favorite bistros. Your VIP treatment continues with an exclusive behind-the-scenes showcase of costumes from the hit series, as well as a personal fitting with Fattoussi, as well as hair and makeup from members of the Emmy-nominated glam team. Then it's light camera action. As you pose for your own professional photo shoot, you'll celebrate your world-renowned extravaganza with a night out at the famed Crazy Horse Paris Cabaret, complete with a VIP tour led by one of the dancers. You and your companion will each depart with head-to-toe Styled ensembles. There was something in front of my word, styled. All right, so the last one was 90K. So this one's going to be more than 90K. But Marilyn Fattoussi, everybody raves about Emily in Paris and like the costuming on it. So, Mo, we're going to start with you.
120,000.
120.
I'm going to go $200,000, but only because you said Pierre Cadu.
It's got to be up in the twos. 215.
Give it to Mo.
Come on, Mo again.
So that VIP like experience, $175,000.
Damn, oh my God.
All right. Here's your last one. And I have a photo that I'm going to show you. Okay. This is from the Galerie Kramer Perry, an 18th century royal caleche. And a caleche means carriage in French. Okay.
Okay.
So this is 7 inches. Imagine owning a piece of world history that will be prized by any collector of rare artistry. This exquisite. No, it's 7 foot long. Forgive me. Okay. Not 7 inches. Seven foot long.
That lie's been told before.
This exquisite 7 foot long caleche dates back to the 18th century Spanish royal family, specifically King Charles III. And it's designed in proportion and intended for a princely child. To show you the photo, this is the caleche.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a caleche if I ever saw one.
Okay.
So it's 7 foot long. You can go to Neiman Marcus and you can purchase this. How much do we think it's worth? And again, this is 18th century. So you're literally paying for history.
I'm going to go $500,000.
What?
Yeah, dude,
you're paying for, like I said, 18th century, and it belonged to the Spanish royal family. Like, this is a collector's item. So think of what you would get at a Sotheby's auction. So with 500K,
320.
320?
No, just $320.
$320. $320K. That's more than I'm gonna go 1.5.
What? Give it to Mo.
Come on.
What the hell is happening? Sweet.
Yeah. Y'all know how to spend money.
$1.9 million.
What?
And you can go to Neiman Marcus and buy it.
Who?
That's crazy.
Who?
A caleche.
Who?
I don't know who.
Will he turn into an owl over there?
The Burt Show.
Most of the advice you get online pretty much sucks. But also, every now and then, there's a grain of motivation or advice that you listen to and you're like, wait a second, that one kind of hits me right in the soul. And we share those on Monday, and we call them Monday Mantras. And our show director, Tommy's, got one today.
I do love the TikTok. I may be old, but I love the TikTok.
I think it's forever.
I'm addicted.
I think that image of TikTok just being for like teen girls is long gone now, man. You're good.
I'm addicted.
Depending on what you're watching.
Well, I learn a lot on TikTok. I learn new things, and I'm introduced to new people. And one of those new people is Nikki Giovanni, who recently passed away at the ripe old age of 81.
Who that?
She's an American poet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's loved for her stories and her speaking. And she influenced a lot of people, and she just wanted people to be better versions of themselves. And she was not one to kind of skirt around things. She
told it like it was.
And one thing I love about this, my wife was so excited because Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came on.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, there was extra bonus footage in Rudolph.
Really?
Never seen before. So she was excited. So we sat down and we watched
this
Rudolph.
This is what excites you guys in your house.
And the whole time I'm thinking, you know, the whole song and everything.
It's messed up.
For Rudolph.
What? It is?
Yes. Rudolph was bullied.
Yes.
And then Santa's like, oh, Rudolph, with your nose so bright. You know what, Santa? Kiss my red
they
nose.
They used them after they abused them.
Yeah. So, yeah, Santa like kicked him out. Then all of a sudden, after Rudolph could do something for him.
And Miss Giovanni kind of felt the same way I did. And I was so happy to see that. And the way she spun it is, you know, Christmas season is a season of, you know, happiness and family. But like we've said on the show, there are a lot of people out there who experience loneliness during the holidays. And Miss Giovanni perfectly spun Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to take a unique take on it and to say something about people who are lonely at Christmas.
I want to know, where was Mr. Santa Claus and Mrs. Santa Claus. They saw what was going on with Rudolph. Why didn't some of them come out and get that corrected? But the minute they needed something, right? One foggy Christmas Eve, then Santa's there, you know. Hey, Rudolph, we need you. Mm-hmm. Rudolph should have told him to kiss...
Agrees.
He should have. Some of us in this room are in some ways different. And I just wanted to say, you know, remember Rudolph and that Rudolph should have cursed him out. Because you don't have any reason to be sucking up under them dumbass reindeer who are talking about you. Because anybody that has any talent in this room is lonely. Whether you can sing, whether you can shoot a basketball, whether you can play football, I don't care what it is, you can, if you got a talent, you're lonely. And so what you want to do is go on with your life. Because at some point, you're going to find somebody who is lonely as you are, and then you will build your community.
All right, so let me question one thing on here. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? If you have talent, you're lonely? At some point, you're going to be lonely?
I'm not exactly sure what she meant by it, but I did hear somebody say the other day, talented people tend to have a tougher run at it because most of the time you got to deal with people who are going to feel a way about your talent.
They're going to be jealous of you.
They're going to be jealous of you. So, yeah, you got to learn to really walk your own path.
So if you're surrounded by friends and love, then you just got to know you're not talented.
I do want to say this, though.
Is that what I'm getting at?
Listen, man, that ain't my quote.
No, I think it's that some people with talents can feel very isolated when nobody else is like them.
Gotcha.
I love this lady now, and I want to watch this because I discovered that there is on Max, there's a documentary. It's an Emmy-winning documentary about her. It's called Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project, if you want to check that out.
I had never heard of her before, but you seem to be pretty familiar with it.
Oh, yeah. She's known for a lot of her poems, a lot of her quotes. And like Tommy said, she was always about helping people find themselves. She dedicated her whole life to that. She's won an NAACP Image Award. Like, she's done a lot of work in the community. Yeah, she spent her whole life pretty much making sacrifices to help others.
Okay.
And she just recently passed away.
And now she's making sacrifices for Rudolph.
All right, Mo, so now you're thinking, you're feeling Grinch right now?
It's not me this time.
It's not you.
It's not me, but it is two people close to me who they told me stories over the weekend of how they plan on handling their Christmases with their family. And I think they're both such top-notch Grinch stories that I was like, I want to tell these two stories, and I want y'all to give me your opinions on who you think is being the biggest Grinch in this situation.
Okay.
So one of my friends came to me and was like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I'm mad at my son and I think that I have to teach him a lesson. So I'm like, okay, how are you going to go about teaching him this lesson? And so he's upset because he feels like he has put in a lot of time, money, and effort into helping his son play basketball because that's what his son wants to do. He wants to be a professional basketball player when he gets older. So he's having a tough time with him because he's trying to teach his son that none of this is going to come easy. And if this is something you really want, then you have to put the effort in.
Sure.
And so in recent times, I don't know if his son is starting to have a change of heart. Maybe he's thinking he wants to do something else, but he's not telling his dad that if that's the case. He's telling his dad that his heart is still in it. But his dad saw him quit a couple of times in the games. And he was trying to teach him, like, there's no quitting in this, son. Like, if you don't want to do this anymore, then you have to let me know. And then we have to be done all together. But I'm not going to keep sending you out there every week, paying all this money, coming to the games to watch you quit on your team, quit on your coach, and quit on yourself.
So dad is saying you can't quit gradually. You just got to, like, rip the Band-Aid off. We're going to quit. We're doing it today.
Pretty much. So okay. He said to teach him a lesson. Normally, every Christmas, his son gets a ton of gifts, and they get a Christmas trip as a family. So he said, I want to base my son's Christmas around his effort, not mine. So when his son wants to know why I'm not getting as many gifts this year or why we're only having a couple of gifts and not necessarily going on a family trip, he wants his son to know, well, that takes effort. Like, if I quit on the family, then we don't have these things. Mm-hmm. I can't quit.
Santa quit.
I quit. Everybody quit. So it's like, now I'm going to show you that these things are not free. These things, you don't just get these things just because. No, it takes effort. And I'm going to teach you to not be a quitter so that you can see what the results are if you do quit. And he said that's the way. And his son, if this matters, is about 12. So he's not too young. He's like right in that age range. And he feels Like, this will be a valid lesson for him moving forward of not quitting on your team, your family, or quitting on yourself.
Okay. I think I had one of those seasons also where I wanted to give it up, and my dad's like, uh-uh, you've got 12 other kids on that team that are dependent on you. You just can't, like, quit when you want to quit. You got to stay the whole season.
So I guess he's using Christmas as the way to teach that lesson. My other friend is, she's tired of her family pretty much because they all got into an argument. Every year they have been trying to figure out how to do Christmas as a family. Sometime they'll do White Elephant, sometime they'll do Secret Santa, but it just got a little too chaotic because they have a really big family. So it was her idea to come to the table. Last year was the first year they did it, and they were doing a Secret Santa. I guess everybody didn't follow the rules, right? The Secret Santa was supposed to be everybody keep the gift under a certain amount and everybody get each other one gift. No one listened. Apparently, people were buying gifts for whomever they wanted to, and then some people didn't. So then that turned into a big argument because some of the people on the family felt like that wasn't fair. Like, if we all get one person and then grandma goes and gets everybody a gift, now some of us feel bad at the fact that we didn't get grandma a gift because that wasn't our person.
It defeats the whole purpose of having a Secret Santa.
So everybody started to complain about it, argue about it. It became so much of a thing that she was like, okay, so we're going to do one Christmas where nobody gets anybody anything. How about that? And then after that, once we figure out if that's the Christmas that y'all want to have, okay, we'll go back to having a Secret Santa or a White Elephant or whatever we're going to do. But she's saying until the complaints stop, Christmas is stopping. These are what two of the people in my life are doing or have decided to do for their Christmas. Who do y'all think is being the worst Grinch?
It really is. It's the holiday with the most leverage. It really is. If you want to make a point, then I think parents are using Christmas as the time to make that point. So both are definitely being Grinches here.
Yeah, you'd say. Yeah. Yeah, but I think the second one I understand a little more. I don't know if the first one is fair toward the side.
It feels disjointed, like connecting the two feels weird to me.
It felt like, and that's how I felt listening to it. It felt like you're grasping to make a point, and you're using that. Like, I didn't feel that connection, and it's so important with kids that, like, if you take something away, it has to be correlated to what they're doing. You know what I mean? It can't just be like, you didn't pick up your toys, so now I'm going to take away a Christmas gift. Because it has to be involved in that moment with them. And I also don't feel like it's fair to take something away when they didn't have a warning about it. Like, it seems like after the fact, oh, well, you did this wrong. Guess what I'm going to do? When they didn't have a heads up that that was even a possibility of it getting taken away, it just kind of feels like you got the rug swept from out underneath of you, right?
Yeah. Like, if Mary and Joseph quit and they don't make it to the manger, all right?
Well, she's still going to give birth.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Okay, bad enough.
Then we have a different song. Away on the side of the road.
Neither one are really great.
No, there's a lot of Grinches everywhere.
Yeah.
Tis
people
the season.
Struggling. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
The question really was, if you're a Burt Show listener, what are your pain points with the show? What would make it more listenable for you guys? And I was really nervous to ask you guys that question online through Cassie, because I wasn't sure if you guys would know what a pain point is compared to a straight up insult. Right? A pain point to me is like, what can we do on the show that is frustrating for you guys and that we can immediately change, like answer my DMs. Okay, I'm frustrated when you guys don't answer my DMs. That's a pain point. We can change that, right? So there were a couple that came up, and I want to address a few of them because you guys were very, very helpful. You got it. You totally got it. The key takeaways were the way the podcast is delivered, specifically because of the order and auto pay. And I want to turn this over to Cassie here because this is kind of out of our hands. So while it is a pain point, depending on what you're using, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We post the podcast part 1, 2, and 3 of the show in the order where it will autoplay into the next episodes. If you play part one, it should play part two. Rebecca and I have tested this on both mobile and desktop on Apple and Spotify, and everything works great. But for some reason, there are so many players out there, and for some reason, for some people, it doesn't play in order. So if you go to thebertshow.com, Rebecca has listed this here, but I'll also tell you now, you can change how the episodes play by creating a queue. So on Spotify, you will go to the podcast that you want to listen to. And then next to the episode, there are three dots and you just add it to queue, and then it'll play in the order you want to listen to it in. And same with Apple. Go to the show, tap the three dots next to the episode you want to listen to first, and then add it to queue. And you can do this for every episode.
Okay, now if you didn't get that and you're a person like me that has to read instructions 9 times before you actually understand it, then go to thebertshow.com. They are all listed right there on like the first slider on the website. Pain point taken care of, right? Second one I thought was a really, really good suggestion is that, look, we take vacations, and that is not going to change. So when you guys are listening, you have told us like, man, when you're out, I understand it, but the reruns, guys, what can you do about the reruns? And you had two suggestions. One was to play older best ofs when we take off for vacation, like we will next week. I'm straight up telling you that right now. So we'll play some older ones. And one of you guys had suggested, how about the youth group coming in and doing a couple of different segments, right? So I chewed on it a little bit, and I'm like, okay, let's give them a shot. All right, so here's the offer I want to make you guys here. As the youth group members are in the studio. I'm not willing to give up an entire show for you guys, but if you want to do and you want to experiment with like 3 to 5 segments that we can run next week and intersperse them in the best of, then I would certainly be open to that. But I'd have to listen to them before that, so you'd have to record them before Thursday when I take off.
I love the idea.
I have to say, very dramatic pause.
That's 1 of 4.
Yeah, would anyone else like to say anything? I think it's a great idea.
You guys don't have to. You guys don't have to, but no. I thought, like, hey, man, you guys, I've heard the podcast, the new podcast, and I'm really enjoying it. It's got a great chemistry to it. And I'm like, this could be on the radio, so let's put it on the radio.
I love the idea for the future. Maybe not the week before.
Okay, yeah. I was like, how do I put this into words? I'm like, oh, wait, so we have to figure this out before Thursday. Would you do this tomorrow? Which I guess we're recording tomorrow.
I'm a little heavy, I think, when it comes to production, as I think it's obvious when I come in here with my laptop and my, like, written out things and all the audio that I, like, produce. So maybe I'm just a little less fly off the seat of my pants.
Yeah.
But I think of, like, 3 to 5 segments, and I'm like, oh, God, I got to lock in. I got to, like, work for, like, a few days on this.
Nah, that's only 15 minutes of content because you got... When we start the show or when we open up the mics, we're basically doing 2 5-minute segments.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys would just have to come up with 15 minutes of content.
I'm in if they're in.
I'm totally in if you guys are down.
I mean, I think we're more than capable of,
for
you know,
sure,
producing something ahead of time. We have until Thursday. I think this is a great, you know, trial run for us.
Yeah.
And we were able to get an entire show produced when we did our first youth group, you know, takeover. So, and that was in 1 day of work that we
That's
did before the,
yeah,
the day before the show. So I think we're more than capable of
this. Well, we are recording tomorrow. So I guess we could just kind of do it with the mindset of like every segment we already had planned for the podcast. Why don't we just make them 5 minutes and then...
Well, there is going to have to be some tweaking because you guys tend to use the naughty words on the podcast. So, and you're going to have to remember our audience compared to your audience, which might be 2 different things. So there's going to be a little adjusting that goes on.
Yeah, so we need to cut the Santa erotica from the show. Yeah. Now make notes.
We can nix that one. But
no, the older women demo, we're into that. We're good.
I will say during our podcast planning meetings, when we have our content planning meetings every week, there are definitely segments that we bring up that we're like, ah, man, this would actually probably be better for the big show audience. And I think that we should be able to interlace those perfectly into these.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm down. I'll do it. I mean, this is my job anyway, so I'll just do more.
You guys in?
Yeah.
All right. I'm down. So record them this week before I take off on Thursday. I'll take a listen to them, and then we'll intersperse them on best of next week.
It's a huge opportunity. Congrats. Yeah.
So they don't hear it, that means you didn't like what we came up with.
If what?
If the audience doesn't hear it, then that means you didn't like anything that we came up with.
I mean, there's only 10% of the audience listening at that point, so how badly can you really tick them off?
The Bert Show.